I want to call your attention now to the book of Proverbs, chapter 4. Proverbs, chapter 4. And we want to look in particular at verse 19. Proverbs 4, 19. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. I don't think I have ever heard a message on this proverb. I have not preached on it before. I looked among the teachers on my shelves and didn't find any of them who had preached on it. Checked Mr. Spurgeon's index. He didn't preach a message on this. None of the good, solid Puritan writers preached a message from it that I could find. But it is a fascinating proverb, and it is one that deserves our attention. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Now, this verse is in contrast with the previous verse, which says, "But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." Here's the contrast between the path of the just and the way of the wicked. The life of man is pictured here in these two verses as a journey on a pathway to a destination. And we see this perhaps in an even broader context beginning in verse 14. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. Well, all of us today are travelers. None of us are on this earth permanently. We are passing through. And the question is, are we passing through with light or with darkness? And to what destination are we passing? Where are we going? Where will we arrive? There are only two possibilities. And these verses 18 and 19 set forth those two possibilities. There is the path of the just, and there is the way of the wicked. Every one of us is on one of these two paths. There's no in between. There's no middle path. You cannot walk these paths both at the same time. It's one or the other. I'm afraid there are many people around us who would say something like this: I know that I'm not really a saint, but I'm not really a sinner either. I'm not that bad. Well, the Word of God here and everywhere else tells us there is no such position as that. There is the path of the just, there is the way of the wicked. And either you are on the path of the just, that is, that you are just, justified, right with God through Jesus Christ by having His imputed righteousness on your account, His perfection credited to you, and therefore you are in a right standing with God, and you are walking the path of the just. Or You are on the path or the way of the wicked. You are not right with God. You are wrong with God. And without Christ. And in your sin. Not in His righteousness. Again, every person, every one of us here today is either in darkness, as verse 19 says, or light, as verse 18 says. We are either in spiritual darkness, or we have been called out of darkness into God's marvelous light. And of course, that is what Christian salvation is. It is to be delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Now, we want to consider briefly here verse 18, and then we will give most of our attention to verse 19. But just to set the contrast, verse 18 tells us the way of light. The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. We read in the 119th Psalm that the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Those who know the Lord, those who are believers in Christ, walk on a pathway that is illuminated. Now, if you've ever been in an unfamiliar place, walking on some sidewalk, let's say, and it's dark at night and there's no moonlight, it is so helpful to have lights shining on the path. You know, you have these nice ones that every so many feet, there's a little low lamp that gives light to the pathway. Well, that is something like what this 18th verse describes for the child of God. There is this shining light to illuminate our path. And so our path is a path of light. The Word of God gives us that light. The very living Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is that light. Listen to what He said in this wonderful statement in John chapter 8. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Lord Jesus Himself illuminates our path. He is the light. He is the light personified. According to Isaiah, His salvation is as a lamp that burneth, that provides light. Shows us our way. Again, in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul describes salvation as God shining in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God gives the light of the knowledge of Himself. He who is the light shines into our hearts, shows us, teaches us, renews us, guides us, guides our steps, guides our decisions, makes us to go in safety so that we do not stumble. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple, Psalm 119 declares. And here we see these parallel terms, these synonyms, light and understanding. We speak of the light of knowledge. If someone suddenly comes to understand something they hadn't seen before, we say the light went on, or it was like a light turned on in their mind. Well, so it is when God illuminates our mind, shows us our way, shows us that we're going on the wrong way, and by His grace renews our hearts, turns our feet, and sets us on the right way, the way that is illuminated by His grace and by His knowledge of His Word, His truth. Believers in Christ enjoy walking a well-lit path. Another proverb says, "They that seek the Lord understand all things." Now, does that mean that we are omniscient like God? Not at all. Only He is that. Our knowledge is limited. Our knowledge is derived from Him. But, relatively speaking, we understand all things. That is, God gives us an understanding of the great issues of life. And that which is a mystery, perhaps nothing but confusion, utter darkness to the lost world around us, the people of God have at least some understanding, some comprehension. It's as if God gives us something of the key of knowledge, and He reveals Himself and the great issues of life unto us in His Word. Now this verse, before we leave it, it speaks of this light increasing. It's compared, it seems, to the very beginning of dawn. You know, after a dark night, when there is just the beginning of the dawn and the sky begins to lighten a little bit in the east, every little bit helps. A little light can make a great difference. And the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The sun comes up, it begins to peek over the treetops, it shines on our pathway and so on. That's the picture here. As we live the Christian life, as we walk with the Lord and walk in His light, the light increases. The day becomes brighter. There is increasing clarity, increasing discernment, increasing certainty and assurance of what God has spoken. God keeps giving us light, keeps shining in our hearts, day by day, supplies fresh grace to us day by day. This 18th verse is a verse that speaks of the growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This light shines more and more, and there is no stumbling. You notice up in verse 12, "When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble." Well, there are dangers, toils, and snares in the pathway for the Christian, for every Christian. And though we may, in one sense, stumble, we do not stumble in the sense that we utterly fall and perish. No. Though we fall, we arise seven times. Though we fall seven times, we arise seven times in this way of light. And finally, we arrive unto what it calls the perfect day. And I take that to be glorification, heaven itself, perfect high noon, as it were, forever and ever. No night there. The glory of God lightens that place. And the Lamb is the light thereof, we read in Revelation 21. Perfect day awaits the believer in Christ. Though the sun has begun to arise, as it were, and we see more and more, nevertheless, we will not arrive at the high noon forever until we are with the Lord in glory, where there are no clouds of doubt and fear, no darkness of confusion. And though we're thankful for what we see clearly now, we will see all the more clearly on that great eternal day. We will see the Savior as He is. We shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. That's true of those who are on the path of the just. But now we come to verse 19. Here's the way of the wicked, the way of darkness. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Inasmuch as light often refers to knowledge and understanding, darkness refers to ignorance. Those who are far from God, who are outside of Christ, unsaved, have their understanding darkened. It says in the book of Ephesians, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. You notice these same words are used, darkness and ignorance. We speak this way in our common conversation. We say, well, I'm in the dark on that. Can you shed some light on this? Well, those who do not know God, who do not know the forgiveness of sins, they are in the dark. They are ignorant of a true saving knowledge of God. Well, that verse in Ephesians goes on to say, because of the blindness of their heart. Now, here is a little different twist on the illustration. It's one thing for a person who has eyes but is at nighttime in the dark, and he's trying to find his way and go along. It's even worse if that person is blind. And a blind person may be walking in the brightness of day and still not know where he's going. And the Scripture uses both of these illustrations to make the same point. And in the ultimate sense, the problem with each of us naturally is an internal problem. We're spiritually blind, and therefore everything is darkness around us. Now, again, in Proverbs chapter 4 here, in the context, we see that the darkness that's described is not an inactivity. These who are on the path of the wicked are very active, verse 16 declares, for they sleep not, except they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. Man in his sinful, lost state sins knowingly, deliberately, willfully, and yet he does not even realize how wrong he is. His way is dark, even unto himself. And though he violates his conscience and goes against what he knows to be right, nevertheless, he has no way of knowing the depth of his own sin. He has no idea how repugnant to a pure and holy God he is. He does not grasp the great profound matters of the soul. Those who walk the way of the wicked are in a way of darkness. They are dark unto themselves. They are willingly ignorant. They are slaves to their own blindness. We hear much today about victimhood, and everyone's a victim. Well, if you want to use that term, think of it in this way. Those that are walking the path of darkness are victims of themselves. They have none to blame but themselves. Their darkness is a criminal darkness. And isn't this where we find modern man today? The way of the wicked is as darkness. He's walking in the dark. And he does his best to convince himself otherwise. He does his best to convince himself that he's walking in the light. Oh, he has everything under control. He knows exactly what he should do and what everyone else should be doing. While he is stumbling around in the dark spiritually, he imagines that he has light and understanding. And all the while, he's not able to diagnose his deepest need. He pretends that he knows his deepest need. And he says, the deepest need is a political need. And if I can just get the politician or the party that I want in power, everything will be resolved. And he fails to see that things political are just a surface symptom of a much deeper problem. It's the problem of the heart of man. But he's blind to that. He doesn't see it. He just sees what is superficial. Others say, well, the problem is really economic. It's poverty. We need to bring up the poor. And to do that, we've got to bring down the rich. And we've got to equalize everyone in every way. Blind. Blind to the real issues. Others are certain that the great savior for mankind is education. It's all these ignorant people. We've got to get people educated. And then the world will be a better place. Well, these are simply poor efforts to find some substitute for the true light. It is looking to darkness as if it were light. It's a very sad deception. And so, modern man, with all of his analysis and all of his ability to gather information, makes efforts to correct all these things, and so often the correction, or the supposed correction, only leads to more problems. And it doesn't succeed. It doesn't bring the solution that he had expected or that he had promised. Modern man is right here in Proverbs 4:19. The way of the wicked is as darkness. Our generation is truly in the dark. We're just as much in the dark as some tribe in the heart of Africa that doesn't have a written language. Now, in a few moments of honesty now and then, someone may admit to being confused and being afraid and being in despair and without hope. But they quickly get over it. They find some false comfort and peace. And then in moments of dishonesty, he assures himself that all is well and that there is hope, and he is so self-confident that man has the ability to improve himself and pull himself up. The way of the wicked is as darkness. Our Lord spoke of this predicament when he said, "If the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?" And that's where we are today, generally in this world. It's where every generation of fallen humanity has found itself. Great darkness. There is not only the darkness of ignorance, there is the darkness of sin and evil. Again, in writing to the Ephesians, the Apostle Paul speaks of the unfruitful works of darkness, that which is positively sinful. Man's problem is not just that he is ignorant and in some respects innocent. It is that he is willfully ignorant. He refuses to listen to God. He refuses to look at the Word of God. He refuses to come face to face with Jesus Christ. And his darkness is an evil darkness. His deeds are evil. Man, in his natural state, is not morally neutral. He is positively wicked. The way of the wicked is as darkness, and a darkness that is offensive to a holy God. Our Lord spoke of this as the power of darkness, the power of Satan, who is the prince of darkness. In bondage to sin. And then, in the last part of Proverbs 4:19, we see what is especially graphic. They know not at what they stumble. Without light to shine on the pathway, or to use the other illustration, without sight in the eyes to behold, a person cannot see the obstacles in the pathway, and is therefore in great danger, in danger of tripping, in danger of falling, in danger of injury. We've enjoyed having my mom with us in our home here for a few days, and it occurred to us that we needed to put out a night light or two at night so she could see her way to get around. Without a nightlight, who knows what you might trip over in unfamiliar circumstances. And that's what this verse is talking about. Those who are far from God, those who are outside of Christ, are in darkness. And they stumble and don't even know what they've stumbled over. Our Lord Jesus uses the same metaphor in the New Testament when he says, "If a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there's no light in him." You know, in Palestine, before the days of electric lights, and especially again if there's no moonlight, why, it would be very dangerous to travel at night. Not to mention robbers and wild animals and so on. Rough roads, before days of pavement and so on, you might trip on a big rock or something in the road. something that someone had dropped by accident or what had rolled down a mountain or what have you. No, you did your traveling in the day. But those who do not know the Lord are walking in the dark, and they're bound to stumble. Again, our Lord said, yet a little while is the light with you. He's speaking of himself as the light of the world. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. It's dangerous, he says, to walk in the dark. He says, come to me, walk with me while I'm here on this earth, walk in the light. Now let me just mention some things that the wicked, the lost, stumble over. First of all, lost man stumbles over sin. He stumbles from one sin to another. Just as verse 18 speaks of a gradual increase of light, so verse 19 indicates something of a gradual increase of danger and darkness. They don't know what they stumble over. A man stumbles and he doesn't know how it happened. What did I hit? What was it? He couldn't see the way. Can't identify the danger. There is in every lost person this inevitable downward spiral. Increasing in sin from one degree to another, from one stone of stumbling to another. And perhaps a person stumbles along from one sin to another in life, and it's not until he finds himself locked up behind bars someday that he stops and asks, how did I get here? Or perhaps his marriage fails. And he says, how did this happen? Or perhaps he simply comes down to the end of a long, wasted life. And he begins to look back and says, how did I waste all these years? In a sense, he doesn't know what he stumbled over. As he stumbled over sin after sin, he becomes a surprise to himself as to his own capacity to sin and how much he could increase in violating his own conscience and violating the Word of God. He does some terrible thing and he stops and thinks afterwards and says, how could I have done that? I didn't think I was capable of that. Oh, it must be out of character for me. And the truth is, no, that is the character. That is who we are in Adam and in ourselves. And again, as man stumbles from sin to sin and lives his life fully deserving the fire of hell for all of his transgressions, nevertheless, he is powerless to avoid the same sin next time. And he falls again and again and again. And that sin that he thought he had control of comes to control him as an addiction. This is true bondage to sin. He knows not at what he stumbles. How many people are like that in this world today? They say, there's something wrong with me, but what it is, I don't know. Maybe I need a happy pill. There must be something that can fix what's wrong with me. Well, there is a fix. It is the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But I continue here with this statement, they know not at what they stumble. Oftentimes, one blind, lost soul who is too proud to admit his own darkness will convince his neighbor that he knows the way. And though he doesn't really know the way, he may convince a number of his neighbors that he knows the way. And we have a situation described by our Lord in these terms. This is the blind leading the blind. And that's a very dangerous proposition. They both fall. They both stumble into the ditch. As Isaiah says, we grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. And I'm afraid this describes many religionists today. You know, religious authorities have become sort of celebrities in their own field. And so many of them are as much in the dark as those who blindly follow them. And they know not at what they stumble. Their crowds and multitudes are nothing but conspiracies of darkness, fumbling along with enough religious atmosphere to deceive themselves and others for a while. But there's something else that lost man, in some instances, stumbles over. Some stumble over the gospel of Christ. Now, this is very different from stumbling over sin. But, you know, a man may stumble over a clay brick as easily as he stumbles over a bar of gold. And some stumble over the cross of Christ. Christ becomes a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. Reminds me of that parable of the treasure hidden in the field. And to sort of elaborate and use our imagination a little bit with that parable, I wonder how many people previously had traversed that field and perhaps had stumbled over that treasure and picked themselves up, didn't bother to look and see what it was that they stumbled over, and continued on their way. So close to the treasure, so close as to stumble at it. And yet to them it was nothing but an offense, nothing but a stone of stumbling. And they end up so far from it in the end. Well, I must hasten on. In the final analysis, every lost man, everyone who dies in their sins, stumbles into hell, which is called a place of outer darkness, the blackness of darkness is reserved forever to those who are on this pathway of wickedness. And we cannot help but wonder how many will not even know how they arrived at hell until they arrive there. Those who are unevangelized, those who have not heard the gospel, those who have, in the ignorance of their own hearts, pursued idolatry and sin in their own way, will wake up in hell, and it won't be until then that they'll understand how they got there and why. Presently they know not at what they stumble. And then, at last, they will be forced to admit that it was their own folly, their own sin, their own rebellion, their refusal to walk in what light they did see. It was their own spiritual stupidity that landed them in that awful place forever and ever. Let us now examine our own hearts. All of us are traveling on a pathway. Do you see? Do you have light? Is your pathway clear? Are you sure? Or are you just pretending to see and know? Do you know where you will arrive? Do you know your destination? Do you know how to avoid the awful and undesirable destination of the lake of fire? Do you know how to arrive at heaven? How will you avoid stumbling into hell? Are you stumbling today? Stumbling along through life, stumbling in your soul, stumbling from one sin to another, unprepared to live, afraid to die? Well, my dear friend, by God's good purpose, you have stumbled across the gospel. You have stumbled across a treasure hidden in a field, as it were. It's like Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. Oh, he sees everything so clearly. He knows his objective. His life is all mapped out before him. And he stumbles at the light of the knowledge of God. He stumbles across the gospel, we might say. And his life was never the same. Lost soul, you have stumbled upon the gospel today. Do not simply regain your footing and continue on in your own path of darkness that leads to destruction, but stop and consider what you have heard. Consider the truth of Christ and salvation through Him, peace with God through the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way. He is the light. He is the pathway. He is the destination. He is all in all unto those who trust in Him. He's the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And so I urge you to come to Him. Come to the light. Haven't you stumbled in the darkness long enough? Why waste one more day? Why take one more treacherous step? Why continue in the path that you know leads to eternal loss and misery and woe, when the path of light is set before you, and Christ is set before you, salvation is set before you? The Lord Jesus is very compassionate now to darkened souls who long for light and who come to Him for light. Turn then from your sin and trust in Him and know the path of the just that is as the shining light.